You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Lord be with you. For today's worship, we remember that life, and this is life, your life is a kind of a box. And it is a box of many things. Some of them are seen, some are not seen. One of them that we're going to focus on today is as old as the human race. Indeed, when the author to the letter of the Hebrews was inspired to write the word faith, it was already in existence. He simply took it and raised it to a new level with an eternal meaning. Faith, by grace through faith, our opening hymn.
All depends on our possessing God's abundant grace and blessing. Though all earthly wealth depart, they who trust with faith unshaken by their God are not forsaken, and will keep a dauntless heart. He who to this day hath led me, and to many joys has led me, in death ever will be mine. He who ever gently schools me, daily guides and rules me, will remain my help divine. Many spend their lives in fretting over trifles and in getting things that have no solid ground. I shall strive to win a treasure that will bring me lasting pleasure, and that now is seldom found. When with sorrow I am stricken, hope anew my heart will quicken. All my longing shall be stilled. To His loving kindness tender, soul and body I surrender. For on God alone I build. Well He knows what best to grant me, all the longing hopes that haunt me. joy and sorrow have their day. I shall doubt his wisdom never, as God wills, so be it ever. I commit to him my way. If my days on earth he lengthen, God my weary soul will strengthen. All my trust in him I place. Earthly wealth is not abiding, like a stream away is gliding. Safe I anchor in his grace.
For the benefit of our listening audience, we will be using the Ardor of Divine Service, Lutheran Service Book, page 184. And to that end, our hymns will be as followed. For the hymn prior to the sermon, I am trusting you, Lord Jesus, during the distribution, that's hymn 729. During the distribution, hymn 555, Salvation Unto Us Is Come. 713, From God Can Nothing Move Me. 813, Rejoice, O Pilgrim Throng. And hymn 717, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Our order of worship, page 184, Divine Service, setting 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Loved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
We take a moment to reflect on our life, our sins, and our Savior. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in his stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue.
He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain.
merciful God, it is by your grace that we live as your people who offer acceptable service. Grant that we may walk by faith and not by sight in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first reading for today comes to us by way of the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. It reads as follows. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with the gradual. Epistle reading comes to us from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. It's the great chapter on faith, as you recall. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world, became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that place from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
By the way, this will be one of the readings for our Bible study when we get to that after worship. We read, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them instead. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. He comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake. Blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. So also, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to that we add a great amen. Okay. This box is your life. Now inside this box of your is a contents that is many things. And if I can get it open. Okay, so you open up your box of many things, and over here are things you can see, like your car keys and your phone that you're forever losing so you don't see them, or a doorknob, or a light switch, all kinds of things that are very visible, right? You see them, don't you? Okay, Reagan sees. And over here in this corner are the things that you don't see, but they are very much part of life. For instance, how many of you woke up this morning deliriously worrying about, I wonder if I'm going to have enough gravity to get through the day? Who worries about gravity? The astronauts. Too little up there, too much down here. Do any of us think about gravity? But try and live without it. You simply can't. It's a real, though invisible part of your life. How about another one? Everybody do it. Ready? One, two, three. That's good. A little more in the back, please. How many of you got up wondering, I hope I remember to breathe today? Oh, that'd be terrible if I forgot about breathing. Unless you have a respiratory issue, how many of you seriously wonder about breathing? You simply do it. Can you, under most circumstances, except for last week, you don't see the air you breathe, right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. We're all talking the same language. That was terrible stuff. But otherwise, You're doing it right now. And I dare say nobody thought about it or worried about, boy, I hope I don't quit breathing today. Now we move to some of the other invisible parts of what's in that box. Love. You can't live without love. Effective human touch. That was made broadly known after World War II, especially in France, when they took notice of the fact that for want of personnel, infants were dying. They were fed, they were clothed, all their physical needs were met, except in one orphanage where one little guy seemed to be thriving because the nurses always came by and went Gucci goo and all that goofy stuff we do that we're glad they don't have videotapes of, like trying to feed the baby. Have you ever noticed those? Without that, we die. Our hope. How many of you can see hope? That's what it, no. But hope is a real, though invisible and essential part of life. In fact, we have witness from that from those who were in concentration camps, actually died simply sitting there. They expired. They breathed their last because the whole situation was hopeless. On the other hand, you listen to some of the survivors, especially some that came back from Vietnam, and ask them, how did you survive? Well, I always had hope. Can you see hope? Can you see love? Can you see faith? And yet, they are all very real. Now we're going to start stepping a little closer into our text. Faith, therefore, was an old word when the author to the Hebrews used it. In fact, I could say this. One commentator made an observation. He says it's almost proverbial. Whether you got it off the street, out of the book of Proverbs, from a philosopher, Socrates, Aristotle, it's simply a reality. And I love the King James at this point. Faith is a substance, the stuff of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A little closer to what we're doing and saying, faith and trust are interchangeable and they are transparent. They are both faith and trust as interchangeable and transparent as the hope or the set of expectations that they inspire. How many of you wondered seriously whether or not the pew you were sitting in was going to collapse when you sat down? If it did, right? So you put both faith in the pew and your trust by sitting down, which expressed your confidence in its ability to hold you up. Well, that's the way it is with faith. When you think about it and start looking at it as part of life, everything about faith starts outside of you and comes to you. What's out there are the things that we come to trust, to rely on, to live by, to get along with without any thought. Faith does not create itself in that object. The object creates the confidence, the trust, the faith that we have in it. It inspires it. It invites you to believe and trust it, that thing or circumstance or person. The second piece about living by faith is that you actually, well, for want of better words, do something about it. You actually put your trust in that person, circumstance, or thing. If for some reason that object proves to fail, you put your keys in the ignition or you push the button and nothing happened, guess what was betrayed? Your confidence, your trust in that automobile. Faith. Or how about this? The object itself is real and certain and valid, but you either don't believe in it or you don't regard it worthy of your belief. I can take it or I can leave it. Both of those cases are nothing more than various levels of sheer unbelief, by the way. Which brings us to Hebrews 11:1. There's nothing left to the imagination or human opinion about that verse. And I like this translation too. Now, faith is the reality of things hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. The very fact that we collectively said together, I believe in God the Father Almighty and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Redeemer, and in the Holy Spirit who is a sanctifier, that confession is a witness to the reality of faith itself. There is something out there that has invited us, drawn us to believe in it, to put our confidence in it, as I said, at a much higher level and with far more at stake as eternity itself, as Hebrews 11 will unfold it in those other verses we read. It's hard as concrete, tough as nails. It's at work among us. That confession is a visible witness to the unseen reality of faith in God. It was our confession of faith. Who he is and how he has made himself known to us and available to us must start with God coming to us. He's always out there inviting us to put our faith, our trust, our confidence in him through his word of promise. Faith is first and foremost a gift God has given out of his undeniable love for us, that love which we see in a particular action that he took to save us. And it all comes to us by way of promise, designed to be believed and held as only promises can be by faith. Why should we? How can we have faith in God when we are born unbelievers, suspicious of God, expecting no good thing to come out of getting caught in his presence? After all, consider Adam and Eve, who when God showed up after they ate from the fruit of the forbidden tree, ran and hid. Instead of being delighted in their creator, with whom they could talk daily, he became both judge, jury, and executioner, all wrapped in one, because they knew they were guilty as hell. And that's the proper way to express that. They ran and hid. When Isaiah received a call from the Lord and had his great vision, he went into total meltdown in the presence of the glory of God until the angel relieved him with that coal taken from the tongs of the altar. You, man, who rightly say you're a man of unclean lips, dwelling in the midst of a people of unclean lips, this has touched your mouth. God has made you presentable to him. They knew back then in the garden, you eat, you die, but they did not believe it. If God showed up in person as he did in the garden, you better run for all you're worth, because your end has come. But when he shows up as a baby in Bethlehem, God's son in our flesh on a rescue mission, when he hangs suspended on a cross between us and the hot wrath of God, when he rises to give us a way through the well-deserved death that we have and should have received into life once again with God, so that we can call him our daddy, then we have tasted the beautiful gift of the love of God expressed by his grace and to be received by faith. We can trust him. We can believe him. In Jesus Christ, we have the rock-hard reality that behind all God's actions, there is the love of the Father for his children despite themselves. His love draws us where his raw glory would drive us away. His love invites us where his unrelenting wrath would incinerate us. His promises are these: come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Out of our guilt, we say, you haven't got a prayer with God. By his grace, through his word, he says, oh yeah? Try me. Put your faith in me. And we can only trust God because of what he has done and by his grace has made known to us. And even that very trust, that evident faith, can only be the work of God in frightened, guilty, sin-wrecked, and sin-racked people. Salvation can only come outside of us, and it can only come from God. God-given faith is the hand that seizes the life preserver, the life giver, Jesus Christ. His name and his work are one in the same. He shall save his people from their sins. Faith, therefore, is the whole purpose of the gospel. These things are written, John said, that you may believe that Jesus, believe, isn't that have faith in Jesus? That he's God's son, And by believing, there it is, having faith again, by believing you may have life. There's an expectation. Faith and trust come, bring with them expectations, and these expectations come from God himself. So they're concrete reality because God has made them so and made them available to us in the gospel. The gospel is all about the life that comes straight out of the jaws of death on our cross with these words, "Be of good cheer, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven." How can you believe that? Because God says so. He invites you to put your trust in him, and your faith makes evident then from his word, his expectation, the one he gives you, eternal life. Jesus Christ is the way back to God. God the Father has raised his son to life. His resurrection is as real and undeniable as the certainty of his word. For it is Jesus who says, "Because I live, you will live also." That's glorious news to honest sinners. It's good news, pure promise. Promise invites us to the core of what faith is, that is to trust in God. And it inspires the heart to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Now, flip that over. If you were to ask the question, then exactly what is it that God expects from us? A long list of do's and don'ts of morality that we are going to fail at one way or another in life? No. He makes very plain what his will is. Says Jesus, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And this is the will of him who sent me," said Jesus, "that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but will raise it up on the last day." Faith and trust and expectation. It's a ridiculously simple and straightforward, "Trust me and live." You wonder why people don't believe it. "I have called you out of darkness into light," said Jesus. "I have taken you from death into life. Whoever believes in me will not perish but have everlasting life." Faith and expectation, you can depend on that from God. That's gospel. God stirs that gospel with his name and yours in the waters of baptism and says, "There, you're my child." His spirit inspires his word day after day to implant itself in our hearts so that we hear and understand what God is saying and doing for us and to us. Without that spirit, you would understand nothing. But he gives us his Holy Spirit. It is in person that Jesus Christ will come to you today and offer his body and blood as sustaining food for our pilgrimage through life. God gives the very faith he expects from us. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. After all, by our own reason or strength, we cannot believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel. Unbreakable is his promise. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is with the heart that we believe and are reckoned as righteous. It is with the mouth that we confess, resulting in salvation. And faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Jesus Christ. Ah, so we trust God because of his word. We can count on that word to direct and inform and instruct us in life. We come to that word understanding that Jesus Christ is the central thing, the great promise. But he's not the only thing in the scriptures that God has given to us. His word directs and informs us, as we heard in the rest of Hebrews chapter 11. It informs and instructs us so that it directs our will during the course of this life. With Paul, we lift up our eyes to Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father. We are hidden with him. There's our life. In the meantime, we come to realize that we are in this world, but we certainly aren't a part of it. We're different. We are people of faith who live by faith in Jesus Christ. From God's word, we see God as he is and for who he is. We come to know him in ways that the world can't imagine. In fact, the world demonically tooth and claw struggles, strives against God, knowledge about God, and definitely aims at those who put their faith in God as Lord and Savior. By faith, you come to see, as is stated, you come to see that all that is tangible around us was created by our Almighty Father. God the Father Almighty, Creator, the Creator. That is, he called into existence all that is tangible and even intangible, the seen and unseen, simply through his word. So he spoke, and so it was. We would not know that unless God had said so. And after all, he was the one who was there at the creation. Through God's word, and God's word alone, we come to understand the what and how of living by faith in God. Like children, we aim to please Daddy. We look at the example of Abel offering his sacrifice by faith, as is told to us in Hebrews 11. And in offering his gift by faith, it was acceptable to God. Cain's rejected sacrifice was so because he had understood the duty to give the offering. But let's get this duty done and then get on with life. No heart for God, no faith in God. No faith in God equals rejection. After all, by faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. We also understand that it was that same very real faith that translated Enoch from this life into the next. The man didn't taste death. It was a precursor to our own Lord's resurrection and ascension, and of course a foretaste then, a picture in advance of what it will be like when we are translated from death into life. Our own resurrection and ascension when Jesus Christ comes in again in glory, just as he has promised to take us home to be his people for good. Faith in God, centered on Jesus Christ, is the only thing that will ever make sense out of life. You can try living without it. I don't recommend it, because all you wind up with is a pointless existence facing an unknown end, except this certainty: the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The only question is, what or whom do you put your faith in for eternal things that will not end? Eternal things are real, simply not seen here and now, described elsewhere as looking in a mirror dimly, a mere reflection, and that a not clear image. But there in your box of life, by faith alone, we draw near to God because he has first drawn near to us. Faith lives in the real hope of an outrageously joyous future life with God that starts here and now. As we live by grace through faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen. We rise to pray. Yeah. Because it is our duty, and by faith our delight, we gather our offering. Please be seated. Please rise. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be, for all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. May we thy bounties thus as stewards true receive, and gladly as thou blessest us, to thee our first fruits give. Amen. Now we'll pray. Almighty God, increase our faith in you, your wise ways and gracious will. Preserve us from reliance on our own plans and natural powers, that we would ever trust in you and be counted righteous in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have clothed us with your mercy and delivered us from our sins, that we may be your own and live under you and your kingdom forever. Place your blessing upon the proclamation of your word. Prosper the work of all pastors and church workers in their various callings. Bless those being called to your service and those preparing for church work vocations. We ask especially for you to bless our seminaries and those who teach and learn your word therein. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Father, you promised great and abundant blessings to Abram, which you believe by faith. Bless the hearts of Christian fathers to prize the gift of their children and to work in their lives for the good of generations yet unseen. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, because we are weak and powerless apart from you, defend us against all our enemies and bless our nation, those who lead us, especially our president, governor, Congress, legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Make them wise and endow them with a good heart, that they may seek justice and show mercy, especially on behalf of the unborn and those least able to defend themselves. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you know our needs before we ask. Yet you invite us to pray for health and healing, comfort and consolation, and peace at the last. Deliver those who are sick and grant your grace to all who cry to you for mercy, especially the family of Michael Moore, Bob, Gavin, Vicky, Fred, Anita, Dwayne, Dan, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Joan, Linda, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Matthew, Mark, Erno, Jeff, and Ethel. Grant us the perfect consummation of our hope and the full healing of body and soul when at last your Son comes in his glory to deliver us to you forevermore. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, grant us your Holy Spirit. Give him to your servants who recline at your table today. Enlighten them by your word as a lamp unto their feet, that they would be dressed in readiness for the coming of the Son of Man, both now and at the end of days, even as he girds himself to serve them with his body and blood. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us, O Lord, a steadfast faith in Jesus Christ, a cheerful hope in your mercy, and a sincere love for you and our neighbors. Although we are not worthy of your benefits, accept our sacrifice of thanks together with the offerings that we return to you in faith, that we would not be fruitless or ungrateful, but magnify your grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you work the salvation of the world through the death of your dear Son, and you work out your holy purposes through the deaths of your saints. Make us faithful unto death, and so receive the fulfillment of all your promises through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The benediction for those who are listening. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same way also after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, All of you drink of it, for this cup is the New Testament, and my blood, which is
shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take this meat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death to forgive us. Now drink this. Christ's blood of our Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the remission of all our sins.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.